Chapter 14. Very often, miss. Apostrophe, very often?
Yes.
And I might as well have spoken to the iron funnel of the strongest sea-going steamer that passes the fellowship porters. Apostrophe, no, miss. Apostrophe, Lizzie pleaded. Because that would not be thankful, and I am. Apostrophe, I vow and declare I am half ashamed of myself for taking such an interest in you, apostrophe said Miss Abby, pettishly, for I don't believe I should do it if you were not good-looking. Why ain't you ugly? Apostrophe, Lizzie merely answered this difficult question with an apologetic glance. However, you ain't, apostrophe resumed Miss Poderson, so it's no use going into that. I must take you as I find you. Which indeed is what I've done. And you mean to say you are still obstinate? Apostrophe, not obstinate, miss, I hope. Apostrophe, firm, I suppose you call it, then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, miss. Fixed like. Apostrophe, never was an obstinate person yet, who would own to the word. Apostrophe, apostrophe, remarked Miss Poderson, rubbing her vexed nose. I'm sure I would, if I was obstinate. But I am a pepperer, which is different. Lizzie Hexam, think again. Do you know the worst of your father? Apostrophe, apostrophe, do I know the worst of father? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she repeated, opening her eyes. Do you know the suspicions to which your father makes himself liable? Do you know the suspicions that are actually about, against him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the consciousness of what he habitually did, oppressed the girl heavily, and she slowly cast down her eyes. Say, Lizzie, do you know? Apostrophe urged Miss Abby. Please to tell me what the suspicions are, miss, apostrophe she asked after a silence, with her eyes upon the ground. It's not an easy thing to tell a daughter, but it must be told. It is thought by some, then, that your father helps to their death a few of those that he finds dead. Apostrophe, the relief of hearing what she felt sure was a false suspicion, in place of the expected real and true one, so lightened Lizzie's breast for the moment that Miss Abby was amazed at her demeanor. She raised her eyes quickly, shook her head, and, in a kind of triumph, almost laughed. They little know father who talk like that. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she takes it, apostrophe thought Miss Abby, very quietly. She takes it with extraordinary quietness. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and perhaps, apostrophe said Lizzie, as a recollection flashed upon her, it is someone who has a grudge against father, someone who has threatened father. Is it Riderhood, miss? Apostrophe, well, yes it is. Apostrophe, yes. He was father's partner, and father broke with him, and now he revenges himself. Father broke with him when I was by, and he was very angry at it. And besides, Miss Abby, will you never, without strong reason, let pass your lips what I am going to say? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she bent forward, to say it in a whisper. I promise, apostrophe said Miss Abby. It was on the night when the Harmon murder was found out, through father, just above bridge. And just below bridge, as we were sculling home, Riderhood crept out of the dark in his boat. And many times afterwards, when such great pains were taken to come to the bottom of the crime, and it never could be come near, I thought in my own thoughts, could Riderhood himself have done the murder, and did he purposely let father find the body? It seemed amiss wicked, and cruel to, so much as think such a thing. But now that he tries to throw it upon father, I go back to it, as if it was a truth. Can it be a truth? That was put into my mind by the dead? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she asked this question, rather of the fire than of the hostess of the fellowship porters, and looked round the little bar with troubled eyes. But, Miss Poderson, as a ready schoolmistress accustomed to bring her pupils to book, set the matter in a light that was essentially of this world. You poor deluded girl, apostrophe she said, don't you see that you can't open your mind to particular suspicions of one of the two without opening your mind to general suspicions of the other? They had worked together. Their goings-on had been going on for some time. Even granting that it was as you have had in your thoughts, what the two had done together would come familiar to the mind of one. Apostrophe, you don't know father, miss, when you talk like that. Indeed, indeed, you don't know father. Apostrophe, Lizzie, Lizzie, apostrophe said Miss Poderson. Leave him. You needn't break with him altogether, but leave him. Do well away from him. Not because of what I have told you tonight, we'll pass no judgment upon that, and we'll hope it may not be, but because of what I have urged on you before. No matter whether it's owing to your good looks or not, I like you and I want to serve you. Lizzie, come under my direction. Don't fling yourself away, my girl, but be persuaded into being respectable and happy. Apostrophe, in the sound good feeling, and good sense of her entreaty, Miss Abby had softened into a soothing tone, and had even drawn her arm round the girl's waist. But, she only replied, thank you, thank you. I can't. I won't. I must not think of it. The harder father is borne upon, the more he needs me to lean on. Apostrophe, and then Miss Abby, who, like all hard people when they do soften, felt that there was considerable compensation owing to her, underwent reaction and became frigid. I have done what I can, apostrophe she said, and you must go your way. You make your bed, and you must lie on it. But tell your father one thing. He must not come here anymore. Oh, miss, will you forbid him the house, where I know he's safe? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the fellowships, apostrophe returned Miss Abby, has itself to look to, as well as others. It has been hard work to establish order here, and make the fellowships what it is, and it is daily and nightly hard work to keep it so. The fellowships must not have a taint upon it that may give it a bad name. I forbid the house to Riderhood, and I forbid the house to Gaffer. I forbid both, equally. I find from Riderhood and you together, that there are suspicions against both men, and I'm not going to take upon myself to decide betwixt them. They are both tarred with a dirty brush, and I can't have the fellowships tarred with the same brush. That's all I know. Apostrophe, good night, miss. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Lizzie Hexam, sorrowfully. Ha! Good night. Apostrophe returned Miss Abby with a shake of her head. Believe me, Miss Abby, I am truly grateful all the same. Apostrophe, I can believe a good deal, apostrophe returned the stately Abby, so I'll try to believe that too, Lizzie. Apostrophe, no supper did Miss Poderson take that night, and only half her usual tumbler of hot port negus. And the female domestics, two robust sisters, with staring black eyes, shining flat red faces, blunt noses, and strong black curls, like dolls interchanged the sentiment that Miss Sis had had her hair combed the wrong way by somebody. And the potboy afterwards remarked that he hadn't been so rattled to bed since his late mother had systematically accelerated his retirement to rest with a poker. The chaining of the door behind her, as she went forth, disenchanted Lizzie Hexam of that first relief she had felt. The night was black and shrill, the riverside wilderness was melancholy, and there was a sound of casting out, in the rattling of the iron links, and the grating of the bolts, and staples under Miss Abby's hand. As she came beneath the lowering sky, a sense of being involved in a murky shade of murder dropped upon her. And, as the tidal swell of the river broke at her feet without her seeing how it gathered, so, her thoughts startled her by rushing out of an unseen void and striking at her heart. Of her father's being groundlessly suspected, she felt sure. 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 And yet, repeat the word inwardly as often as she would, the attempt to reason out and prove that she was sure always came after it and failed. Riderhood had done the deed, and entrapped her father. Riderhood had not done the deed, but had resolved in his malice to turn against her father the appearances that were ready to his hand to distort. Equally and swiftly upon either putting of the case, followed the frightful possibility that her father, being innocent, yet might come to be believed guilty. She had heard of people suffering death for bloodshed, of which they were afterwards proved pure, and those ill-fated persons were not, first, in that dangerous wrong in which her father stood. Then at the best, the beginning of his being set apart, whispered against, and avoided, was a certain fact. It dated from that very night. And as the great black river with its dreary shores was soon lost to her view in the gloom, so, she stood on the river's brink unable to see into the vast blank misery of a life suspected, and fallen away from by good and bad, but knowing that it lay there dim before her, stretching away to the great ocean, death. One thing only, was clear to the girl's mind. Accustomed from her very babyhood promptly to do the thing that could be done, whether to keep out weather, to ward off cold, to postpone hunger, or what not, she started out of her meditation, and ran home. The room was quiet, and the lamp burned on the table. In the bunk in the corner, her brother lay asleep. She bent over him softly, kissed him, and came to the table. By the time of Miss Abby's closing, and by the run of the tide, it must be one. Tide's running up. Father at Chiswick wouldn't think of coming down, till after the turn, and that's at half after four. I'll call Charlie at six. I shall hear the church clocks strike, as I sit here. Apostrophe, very quietly, she placed a chair before the scanty fire, and sat down in it, drawing her shawl about her. Charlie's hollow down by the flare, is not there now. Poor Charlie. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the clock struck two, and the clock struck three, and the clock struck four, and she remained there, with a woman's patience and her own purpose. When the morning was well on between four and five, she slipped off her shoes that are going about, might not wake Charlie, trimmed the fire sparingly, put water on to boil, and set the table for breakfast. Then she went up the ladder, lamp in hand, and came down again, and glided about and about, making a little bundle. Lastly, from her pocket, and from the chimney piece, and from an inverted basin on the highest shelf, she brought halfpence, a few sixpences, fewer shillings, and fell to laboriously and noiselessly counting them, and setting aside one little heap. She was still so engaged, when she was startled by "Halloa!" apostrophe apostrophe from her brother, sitting up in bed. "You made me jump, Charlie." Apostrophe, jump. "Didn't you make me jump, when I opened my eyes a moment ago, and saw you sitting there, like the ghost of a girl miser, in the dead of the night?" Apostrophe, "It's not the dead of the night, Charlie. It's nigh six in the morning." Apostrophe, "Is it though? But what are you up to, Liz?" Apostrophe, "Still telling your fortune, Charlie." Apostrophe, "It seems to be a precious small one, if that's it." Apostrophe, said the boy. "What are you putting that little pile of money by itself for?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "For you, Charlie." Apostrophe, "What do you mean?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Get out of bed, Charlie, and get washed and dressed, and then I'll tell you." Apostrophe, her composed manner, and her low distinct voice, always had an influence over him. His head was soon in a basin of water, and out of it again, and staring at her through a storm of toweling. "I never," apostrophe toweling at himself, as if he were his bitterest enemy, "saw such a girl as you are. What is the move, Liz?" Apostrophe, "Are you almost ready for breakfast, Charlie?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "You can pour it out." "Halloa, I say, and a bundle?" Apostrophe, "And a bundle, Charlie." Apostrophe, "You don't mean it's for me too?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Yes, Charlie, I do, indeed." Apostrophe, more serious of face, and more slow of action, than he had been, the boy completed his dressing, and came and sat down at the little breakfast table, with his eyes amazedly directed to her face. "You see, Charlie dear, I have made up my mind, that this is the right time for your going away from us. Over and above all the blessed change of by and by, you'll be much happier, and do much better, even so soon as next month. Even so soon as next week." Apostrophe, "How do you know I shall?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "I don't quite know how, Charlie, but I do." apostrophe in spite of her unchanged manner of speaking, and her unchanged appearance of composure. She scarcely trusted herself to look at him, but kept her eyes employed on the cutting and buttering of his bread, and on the mixing of his tea, and other such little preparations. "You must leave father to me, Charlie. I will do what I can with him, but you must go. Apostrophe, you don't stand upon ceremony, I think," apostrophe grumbled the boy, throwing his bread and butter about, in an ill humor. She made him no answer. "I tell you what," apostrophe said the boy then, bursting out into an angry whimpering, "you're a selfish jade, and you think there's not enough for three of us, and you want to get rid of me. Apostrophe, if you believe so, Charlie, yes, then I believe too, that I am a selfish jade, and that I think there's not enough for three of us, and that I want to get rid of you." Apostrophe, it was only when the boy rushed at her, and threw his arms round. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.